Parshas Vayakel. Parshas Vayakel starts off like this. Vayakel Moshe, it's called Das B'nei Yisrael V'yomer Aleihem. Moshe gathered all the Ada, all the congregation of B'nei Yisrael, and he said to them, Ela Dvarim Shetziva Hashem L'Asosam, these are the things that God commanded you to do. Now it goes right into Shabbos. We know that Vayakel was mainly a repetition of Parshas Truma. Right? We know that. It goes into all the things that you need for the Mishkan. It goes through all the different the materials that they needed for the Mishkan and everything that they needed and everything and what they built. And in the end, it goes through that they actually made it. It goes through they did this, they did that, they did this, they did that. But over here, you start off the parsha with something very strange. You started off with Shabbos. Sheshes yamim te'asem malacha. 6 days you should do work. Vayom ha'shvi, Shabbos yelachem kodesh. Shabbos shavasol la'ashem. Should make it a Shabbos bar kodesh baruch. It's a really strange just juxtaposition of the psukim together of why we have Shabbos right in the middle, right before we get into all these things of the Mishkan. So what's going on over here? So first of all, you have to ask the first question really is, why go through this again? What's the point in going through it all again? So the Ramban asks the question. The Ramban says, Laharbos schar ha'uskimbo, to give more schar to those who learn it. To give more schar to those who learn it. Now, Hashib Shat, the way you learn it is, those who were osik in the Mishkan got a lot of schar. They got a lot of schar for what they were doing, and because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a reward being mentioned over and over and over again in the Torah. To be mentioned this time and that time and everything like that. They compare it to the Sichas Avdei Avos. Remember, Eliezer Eved Avram has a whole story that's repeated twice in the Chumash because he did something that was not overly tremendous, but he did something which was very, very great, and because of that he was rewarded on being mentioned twice. So too over here. But the Ravina Bechaya learns it a little bit differently. He says it's a mitzvah gedola, a huge mitzvah and a great schar for us to learn about the inyanim of the Mishkan. Because even though it's something that doesn't apply to us nowadays, and we think has nothing, not only does it have no application to us, we don't even have such an idea as a Mishkan. Even if we wanted to make a Mishkan, we wouldn't. We'd have to make a Beis HaMikdash. But yet still, the inyanim are still Torah. And there's still a mitzvah gedola to learn this, even though there's nothing that really applies to us nowadays. Parshios Korbanos. What does Chazal say about Parshios Korbanos? That if you read through Parshios Korbanos,
Rambam said in,
when
Rambam made a Mishnah Torah, he was questioning why he put all these like unnecessary halachos in.
And he said,
because Mashiach is coming soon.
No, that's not the reason.
Is that what he said?
No, that's not the reason.
Why
he said because Kola Osik but Parshios Korbanos ki lumakriv Kola Korbanos Kula. If you're Osik and Parshios Ola, you just brought a Korban Ola. If you do Parshas Mincha, you brought a Korban Mincha. If you're Osik and a Parshas Shlomim, you brought a Shlomim. And if you do all the Parshios together, you brought all the Korbanos together. Says the Rabbeinu Bechaya, a massive, massive Chiddush, if you learn this Parsha about the Mishkan, and you go through the Chumash and just read it through, it's as if you built the Mishkan. As if you yourself built up an entire Mishkan for yourself. That is an unbelievable thing. Just by reading it through the same way, and in this chus of doing the nigla and the nistor and learning up all the different things in this parsha, Hashem will return his shechina to Klal Yisrael, and he'll build the third base of Mikdash, and it'll be his own instead of us building it. It'll be HaKadosh Baruch Hu building it. We're learning and we're building it up, so too he's going to make it build up for ourselves. He's going to build it up for us, and that's what's going to happen. So think of this: every time you read through this parsha, you're going to be able to build your own building. You're going to make your own building. You're going to make your own base of Mikdash. You're going to make your own Mishkan, and everything good that you could possibly imagine is going to happen when you read up this Parsha. So don't think to yourself, oh, it's boring. Oh, I'm not going to get anything out of this. This is building the Mishkan. You're building something over here. Think of it as going to Lowe's and Home Depot, getting the wood that's necessary, getting the hammers and all the tools that's necessary, and building the Mishkan on your own. Think of it as you're the one building everything. That's what you got to do while doing this Parsha. That's the entire idea behind it. There's also a Medrash Tanchuma. The Medrash Tanchuma says, unreal story. Yechezkel is told how to build the second base of Mikdash. Yechezkel told, this is what you got to do in order to build the second base of Mikdash. So, yeah, it's a question whether it was the second or the third. But either way, Yechezkel was told that. Afterward, Yechezkel said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, why are you telling this to us now? There's no point to us knowing this. We're in Gullus right now. We're in exile. There's no reason for us to know how to build the second base of Mikdash. Tell us when we're ready. Tell us when we're ready to go to Eretz Yisrael. That's when he can tell us how to build the second base of Mikdash. Why bother telling it now? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just because the Jews are in Gullus and they can't build it right now. Just for that, they should be buttled from my Mishkan? They should be buttled from building up the Beis HaMikdash? They learn from that. That means that if you're not learning the Parshios of the Mishkan, and you purposely purposely don't do it, that means you're being mevatel from building up the Beis HaMikdash. It's like a guy is coming up to you and saying, you want to build the Beis HaMikdash? And you're saying, no, I don't want to. That's what you get for not learning it up. Kol Shekein, that if you actually learn it, you're going to be building up the Beis HaMikdash. That's an unbelievable chiddush. That not learning up this parsha, or saying, I'm not going to do it, it's a repetition, I already did it before. That is basically like saying a guy building up the Beis HaMikdash asks you for help, and you say, you know what? Nah, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to help you out. That's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. But that's what it's like doing. That's what we end up getting from this parsha. Now, there's a lot more to it as well. The Orach Chaim says another reason why we repeat this parsha over here. He says, because it's the greatest story in the history of the Jewish people. Every time we go through something that happened to the Jews, something screwed up. Something's messed up. At Har Sinai, they didn't get up early enough. Right? We know that. The Egel Azov, need I say more. They went out to the desert. Yeah, there were some good things that happened, but they complained about the mud, they complained about the water, they did this, they did that. There were bad things that happened to them. Here we have a story in which they were told to bring gold, and not only did they do it, they did it unbelievably well. For that, we want to say, stop concentrating on the bad. Stop looking at the good. Hashem repeats it over and over and over again. You know what? They built the Mishkan. Hey, you know what? They built the Mishkan. They did it. I asked them to do something, and they didn't mess it up. That's a wonder. That's a tema. That's a pella. And for that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? I'm going to write everything I can within this parsha. I'm going to put it in this parsha. I'm going to put everything in. I'm going to repeat it. I'm going to say it a third time. I'm going to do everything else. I'm going to add on psukim just to tell you that this is what the Jews did. The Apter Rebbe, the Rebbe from Apt, he used to say the following, that Moshe Rabbeinu, he adds on, that that's why Moshe Rabbeinu told them to stop bringing the gold after 3 days. They were bringing the stuff, the gold, the silver, the jewels, and everything like that. They were bringing it for 3 days. And then Moshe Rabbeinu announced them and said, stop. Nobody bring it anymore. You guys are done. I don't want anybody else bringing it. The time for bringing it is now over. Why did he tell them to stop? Why not make a treasury? Why not make a massive treasury? That way, anything bad that happens, they'll be able to go to that treasury, grab the stuff, and they'll be able to bring it home. Why would Moshe Rabbeinu have told them that? Says Dr. Rav, because what happens when you let them keep donating? They keep going, right? But slowly but surely it trickles down, right? The first day they brought 100,000 things. Second day they brought 90,000 things. Third day they brought 80,000 things. Then it starts petering down, lower and lower and lower. By the 50th day, how much do you think they're bringing? You guys bringing like half a coin. You know, and that's like the most generous guy. I've been giving the past 49 days. What else am I supposed to give? I can't give anymore. It starts petering down. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to remember this moment as being the greatest moment for the Jews of all time. That they brought everything they could in those 3 days. He doesn't want to remember that it started petering down afterward, so he never ever let it go that far. After those first 3 days, he said, alright, stop. I don't want to do anything else anymore. I want to remember this moment as it is. I want this moment to stick in my head, and I'm going to write about this in the Torah. That's what he wanted to do. Said the best thought that you could possibly have came out from our parsha. That was the idea of what he wanted to do over here, and that was the point of not making a treasury. He didn't want that treasure to be there because you want to savor that moment. Savor it and do that. And only, that teaches you a massive lesson, by the way. That teaches you that when you are doing these things, only do, when you go to business, only do what you need for right now. Don't try to get stuff that you need in the future. Oh, I'm going to need that in the future or this in the future or anything like that. Don't bother doing that. Only get what you need for right now and don't bother going into what you need in the future. Now that's a very, very hard line. I actually had a guy that came up to me the other week and said to me, is it mutter to have a savings account? So I said to him, I was like so shocked. I'm like, what do you mean? He said, well, you're not supposed to save, right? That makes you lose your bitachon on Hashem. I'm like, are you on planet Earth? I couldn't believe that. First of all, there's no way this guy is not in Eretz Yisrael living in Mea Sharon. There's no way. There's absolutely no way. But the guy was a holy yid. He's a very holy yid. And he said to me exactly that. He said, is it mutter to have a savings account? I'm like, I don't want to tell you yes. I really don't want to tell you yes. I want to tell you that absolutely not. It's also for you to have a savings account. Just rely on a Kaddish Baruch Hu. If you can have that bitachon, why not? Go ahead and have that bitachon. But the fact is, yes, of course, it's 100% mutter. Of course, there's no problem with it whatsoever. But the fact is, there's no problem with it whatsoever. It's just, it's a thought. You know what you should do? Keep the time and try to do as much as you can. Try to have it that you don't put everything off till later and everything should be good. Okay, that's that. Last week, anybody know what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of last week's parsha? face started to shine like crazy. He had some type of a shine to his face that every time he looked at a person, the people looked at him and they couldn't see. It was like a shining countenance. A shining countenance. And I don't just mean like a pregnant woman who's got that like radiating face, like, oh, she's so whole, she looks so light and whatever. I don't mean like that. She had, Moshe Rabbeinu had this face that was shining a light so bright that anybody who looked at him was starting to go blind. So Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, you got to take care of that. What did he do? He ended up getting something called a masveh, a mask, a mask. Now, what was the point of that mask? To put on so that nobody would be able to see the light, nobody would be able to see the shine that was shining from his face. Listen to this, Nitzutzei Shimsha. Nitzutzei Shimsha says, you know who has that shine? Only four people have ever gotten that shine. Moshe Rabbeinu is one. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov had that shine. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were above Moshe Rabbeinu. They were able to turn it off. Yosef also had a bit of that shine. He was able to turn it off, very much so. Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to turn it off. That's why he needed the mask. You know why? Because when you become shalem, when you become perfect, a perfect person in all 248 limbs of your body, when you become perfect in all the limbs of your body, your ramache varim, then you become so shiny. You shine like you're a spiritual person. Listen to this. Every single one of the avos, you can get their names up to 248. 248. Avram was his original name, right? When he became fully, when he became Shalim, Be'evarim, what was his name called? Avraham. Avraham is the gematria of 248 altogether. So he needed the hay. He needed the hay to bring himself up to 248. Yitzchak Avinu is the gematria of 208. To bring it up to 248, what did he need? What did he need? This is not hard math. 248 minus 8. Right? It's going to be 40 altogether, right? 248 minus 208 is 40 altogether. That 40 were the first 40 years of Yitzchak's life, where Yitzchak Avinu was able to learn Das Mother without getting married. He was able to learn unbelievably well before everything happened. That was 40. That was the 40. That's a mem. That's a mem, right? Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, the gematria is 182. So 248 minus 182, what is it? It's hard. You can do it. 248. Just do 48 minus 0. It's 48. And then add another 18. 48 plus 18. What we got? 66 altogether, right? 66 is Samech Vav. The Shlemos of Yaakov was bringing 66 people down to Mitzrayim. That's when Yaakov became Shalem. When he brought 66 people down to Mitzrayim, there were three people there. Yosef and his two sons were there, and Yaakov himself was the 70th. That's what happened. That's Samech Vav. The Mem from Yitzchak, the Samech Vav of Yaakov, and the Hay of Avram Avinu went together and became the Masveh, the mask of Moshe Rabbeinu. Those were the letters that were used to make the Masveh, the mask of Moshe Rabbeinu. Those were the four people, and the only four people to have that masveh, have the need for such a mask. Otherwise, they were shining, their countenances were so out there. So here we go. Now, there's a little bit more. It gets a little bit more. The real reason why Moshe Rabbeinu had to have that mask on is because he was sick and tired of that Erev Rav. Stupid Erev Rav. The Erev Rav that he himself saved, that he himself brought out of Mitzrayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't bring him out. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm sure they're going to be okay. I'm sure they're going to be okay. He brought the Erev Rav out, and because of that, once the Erev Rav sinned at the Ego Azov, at that point Moshe Rabbeinu had to put on a mask that the Erev Rav would never ever see him, even accidentally. Even accidentally, there would be no point where the Erev Rav would see Moshe Rabbeinu, where they'd be able to see him, because he always had his face covered. Says the Shachal HaTorah. The Shachal HaTorah says that's why in the beginning of this week's Parsha, it starts off right after he put on the mask to hide himself from the Erev Rav. It says, Vayakel Moshe's called Das B'nei Yisrael. He gathered together all of B'nei Yisrael. Vayomer Aleihem. And he said, to them, Kichu Meitchem, I want you guys to take from yourselves, everybody, Truma Lashem, a Truma to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want you to take from yourselves a Truma, but not from the Erev Rav. Originally in Parshas Truma, which according to the Ramban was before the Egel Azov happened, they were originally commanded in the Mishkan before the Egel happened. What pasuk did he say over there? Kol Asher Yidvenu Libo, anybody who has generous heart, anybody who has generosity, go ahead and give any money. Even the Erev Rav could give back then. In Parshas Truma, even the Erev Rav could give. But now, Asur Gomer for the Erev Rav to get involved at all. They cannot give one coin to the Mishkan. They weren't allowed to give one thing to the Mishkan because their sin with the Egel Azov. of. Because of that. How many? Quite a few. There were 2.6 million Erev Rav in the Midbar. Not too many died in Egel Azov. So there were quite a few. So there are quite a few. There was Machlokas in the Mechilta, how many there were, if there was 1.4, 1.6, or 2.6.
In the Egel at all, right?
Right. There were only 3,000 altogether that were supposed to have died from the Jews. It doesn't say how many the Erev Rav died, but you'd have to assume that some of the Erev Rav survived. You didn't kill all 2.6 million people of the Erev Rav. That's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. So some of the Erev Rav were surviving. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew you can't take one person, you can't take one coin away from those people, and that's Kichume Itchem. Okay. They might not have even known about the Mishkan. This is the greatest shot from the shot that I've ever heard before in my life. The Erev Rav were ostracized. They were not allowed in the Anani HaKavod. So where did Moshe Rabbeinu command Bnei Yisrael? Inside the Anani HaKavod. Says the Shach HaLaTorah, they never knew about it. All of a sudden, the Erev Rav like walked back and he's like, "What's going on in there? Like, we hear sounds, but they couldn't see inside the clouds. That Anani HaKavod, the clouds that surrounded them, totally covered them up so that they couldn't see inside. And they never heard the command from Moshe Rabbeinu to go ahead and build the Mishkan. So they might not have even known about it in the first place. So the Erev Rav sat there, and all of a sudden, the Mishkan was made and everything, and they saw a huge smokestack coming straight down from Shemayim, going down in the middle of the clouds. They're like, "What in the world is going on?" And all of a sudden they heard, they built up a Mishkan. Said the Erev Rav, "Since when? When did they start doing this? How come we weren't told?" And Moshe Rabbeinu came out to them and said, well, with his mask of course, said, "Sorry guys, I didn't want you guys involved at all." That's what they ended up doing to the Erev Rav. The Erev Rav might have also missed Har Sinai. Remember, we spoke about that before. It's possible that the Erev Rav were never at Har Sinai. They never got the Luchos as well. They never got the Torah. They slept in that day, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't wake them up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't wake them up. The Erev Rav are a crazy little people. But let's go into something a little bit different. Sheshes Yomim. 6 days you should do your work. Now the word tase is not pronounced that way in the Torah. It's pronounced teose melacha. You should do work. Now the problem is that's not the proper word. The proper Hebrew for the word should be tase melacha. You will do work. But the wording that we say when you read the Torah is teose melacha, as if there's a yud inside there. What's the difference between tase and teose? Tase means you will do it yourself. Teose means you'll do something so that it's done. Meaning you gave the plans over like a contractor, giving it over to somebody else, and that other guy will do it for you. That other guy's going to do it for you. That's Teyaseh Melacha. So here we go. The Shach says it's a remez to the two Batei HaMikdash. The two Batei HaMikdash. Says the Shach, and this I've never heard before either. The first Beis HaMikdash was made by who? Shlomo Melech, right? That's what you thought. No. Shlomo Melech did not do one bit of work. Shlomo Melech said words, and the Beis HaMikdash built itself. The stones quarried themselves out of the pits. They brought themselves to Yerushalayim and sat themselves where the Beis HaMikdash was supposed to be. They brought everything themselves. They did everything on their own. Does that explain that massive, massive rock in the middle of the Kotel Tunnel tours? That huge rock that makes absolutely no sense, that how they brought it there and bring it in there? They say it might have been from the second Beis HaMikdash. It might be from all the way. Yeah, they have all these things. Who knows? Who knows? The fact is, in the first Beis HaMikdash, everything was done on its own. That was chaos. You'll do something, you'll just say something, and immediately the work will be done for you. Everything will be done without you doing a thing. But the second Beis HaMikdash is Ta'aseh Melacha. You will do the Melacha. During the second Beis HaMikdash, Ezra did not have that privilege. Ezra and Nehemiah built up the second Beis HaMikdash. The work had to be done by then. It took a lot of power. It took a lot of pain. And there was a lot of work that had to be done. They had to do it on their own. That was the difference between Te'aseh, it will be done, and Ta'aseh, you will do the work of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the difference between them. By the Mishkan, you should know, it's exactly like the Olam. Exactly how the world was created. Everything in the Mishkan represents the world. If you remember from back in Parshas Truma and Tetzaveh, we spoke about how the world is made up of Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. We said that the Chatzur of the Mishkan is Olam Hazeh. The courtyard is Olam Hazeh. And the middle part with the Aron and the Menorah and everything like that is Olam Haba. It's the next world. It's the future world. We said it represents the world. How is the world created? Anybody know? With what? With Amira. Not Dibor. With Amira. 10 Mamaros. 10 words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. 10 words. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, really? Says the Gemara, I should say. Really, it's only 9. There's only 9 times it says Vayomer and Parshas Bereishis, but they say, no, Bereishis itself is number 10. Bereishis counts as number 10. That was the first word said by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you count up the psukim right over here in the Parsha, when it says, Esa Mishkan, Esa Alov, Esa Mechsei, what they made, there are 9 psukim. Each one of those psukim represents one part of the Mishkan that they made. Each one is a different amira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What they did was they said it, and the Mishkan was automatically made. It was Teyasem Malacha. The work was automatically done by them just saying the words. Bezalel didn't really know how to put the things together. He had no idea. He'd never done this work before in his life. But he's a tremendously holy Yid. And this tremendously holy Yid was able to say, we need to make the Aron Kodesh. And he was able to say the right words to be able to make the Aron Kodesh get together and make that Aron Kodesh become the Aron Kodesh. He's able to make the menorah, make the shulchan, make the ureals, make everything out there. Every single thing became what it was through Teyas Demelacha, by saying something and making it end up happening that way. That's what Bezalel was able to do. That's how Bezalel was so great. And the 10th Pasuk is the original Pasuk of that. What they said was, they went and they made everything that God commanded. That's the 10th Pasuk altogether. That's the Bereshis for everything over here. Okay, that's what we have for the beginning. That's what we have for this, I guess you could say, the beginning of this parsha. But it continues. Later on in Pasuk Chaf Hei, the Pasuk says the following. It says, I'm in Parsha Kisisa, sorry, I skipped a little bit. Parsha Chaf Hei says, V'chol isha chochmas lev biyadeh tavu. Every woman who's wise of the heart, with her hands, she spun all the silken threads, not silk, I'm sorry, the tcheles threads, the tolas shani threads, the argaman threads, they spun everything themselves. Everybody asks, what does that word tavu mean? Tavu is two vavs. What's with the two vavs? And then later on, the pasuk says, es tcheles v'esu argaman. And then it says, es tolas shani v'esa shesh. Why did it skip and not say a vav by every single one? It should have read it as, es tcheles v'esa argaman, v'es tolas shani, v'es shesh. Right? That's how it should have written it, but it doesn't. It says, es tcheles v'esu argaman, es tolas shani, v'es shesh. What happened to that vav right before tolas shani? Says again the Shachal HaTorah. Every single time that they tried making whatever it was they wanted to do, immediately they would pick up the thread and start spinning and start weaving and start doing whatever they wanted to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of it on the other side and finished it off for them. So when they started to do it, like if they would be making a kippah, let's say, right, and they start spinning the kippah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be starting to do it from the other side and start doing it the other way, and they'd meet right in the middle. So they had to do half the work that they were supposed to do. Half the work. And not only that, when they started working on Tcheles, the Argaman started spinning itself. The Argaman started doing itself. So they didn't really have to do as much as they wanted to do. They would start to do one thing and immediately the other thing would be done. Thus, when they worked on the Tcheles, the Es Argaman, the Argaman was automatically made. When they worked on the Tolas Shani, then the Es HaSheish, the linen was made on its own. That's why there's no vav in between them. They would work on one thing and the other thing would be automatically made in the same kind of process. Just like Bezalel made the Mishkan, the women were able to make those spinning and everything like that with their own thing as well. And that's why it says Tavu with two vavs. Not only they spun, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu spun as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of it from the other way around. And the final thing is Lamed Vav Dalet. Sometimes when the men would be doing the work, it says Mimalachto. Mimalachto Asher Hema Osim. From their work that they were doing, says the Shach again, Mimalachto. You know what it means? It means while they were working on something, the work would tell them what to do. It was like IKEA instructions with the thing telling it to you out loud instead of you having to look down in the instruction manual. If you pick up a hammer, I'd be like, no, you need a screwdriver right now. It would tell you, go ahead and knock this thing inside. Go do this instead. No, you got in the wrong place. Hit me just a little bit to the left. That's what the Mishkan would be telling them. The Mishkan would talk to them and tell them exactly what they needed to do. It was Mimalachto. From the work itself, it told them what to do. That's the wording of this pasuk. Okay.
I wish our Mechitza would tell us that.
That would just be annoying.
Yeah, you could do that, I guess.
Be quiet.
I definitely hear you. I definitely hear you. How annoying that could possibly be when you're going ahead and working on something and it's telling you, no, don't do that. Stop talking to me. I definitely can hear that being annoying. I guess that it knew the person that was doing it and it decided what to do based on the person. But the fact is, don't think to yourself that this Mishkan was just simply Bnei Yisrael went to Home Depot and they decided to just build up something. They wanted, build it yourself. And they went over there and they said, we can help and they will be able to do everything they need. That's not what the Mishkan was like. The Mishkan was beyond anything like that. The Mishkan was not just building a building. It was making